Yes. This is the Overnightscape Underground, day one, track 22. And it is about 10 a.m. on our virtual day. Hi. Hope you enjoyed that movie. It's I'm from Arkansas. I really love that movie. And I have its page on Internet Archive here. I'm going to be reading you some of the comments that people made on it. I really enjoy that. I could listen to that one over and over again. There's so much stuff going on in there. Anyway, right now, as I'm recording this, it's the 18th of November, 2007. It's about 11:07 a.m. for me. I got to stop doing that. I cannot mention the virtual time and the real time. It's very, very hard to contrapend, to understand. What the heck am I? I don't know. Anyway, looking outside, it's a sort of an overcast day, and it was snowing lightly before. I don't really see it. I have the studio window not open, but the blinds are not open. You can see outside, and I don't really see the snow. But I heard some banging outside. It looks like they're delivering an oven or a range, whatever. They're delivering an oven to someone today. So someone's gonna have a brand new oven today. I'm sure they're very excited about that. So I'm from Arkansas. There's one scene that I think most of this movie is fairly easy to understand without seeing it. There's one scene where those guys are pretending to be hillbillies. Even though supposedly, this is what's interesting about the movie, they're pretending to be hillbillies, but they actually, they're actually from that town, though, right? So in a sense, it does sort of make fun of people's perceptions about hillbillies and stuff, right? Even though there are those two characters, the one guy and his son who are, really stupid, but it definitely does, and I think some of these comments bear out on that as well. But there's a scene where those guys come to dinner, and it's very interesting, they're all, I guess, pretending to be these weird hillbillies, and they all sort of are eating their food at the same time. They're putting their forks down and then cutting it at the same time. And you hear sort of a music type thing representing that. But those girls are looking at them what weirdos, you know? They're that was one scene that comes to mind that may be a little hard to understand in audio. In any case, here are some comments. This movie. The Internet Archive is kind of frustrating because sometimes information is a little hard to find, but we can find the commentary. Here we go. There's a few comments here. Okay, so the oldest comment here on the movie is this guy, Richard Lansdowne, gives it 4 out of 5 stars on October 28th, 2004, right? Subject, good old-fashioned hoedown fun. My mom is from a little podunk town in Arkansas, so I just had to watch this. Cute but hokey, the movie revolves around a little podunk town called Pitchfork, Arkansas, where a sow named Esmeralda has just given birth to 18 piglets. This is naturally big news. When the manager of a traveling girls' troupe hears the news, he figures they ought to head there because that... Oh, this is I don't know what the hell kind of writing this is, but there's all these weird characters wherever there's an apostrophe or something. Let's see. The guy's giving, I'm just going to read it, even though he's giving, this synopsis, which is a movie you just heard. Figures they ought to head there because there's a lot of opportunity and people will be, what? Naturally enough, the slow packing company, whose vice president is Harry Cashin, wants to find out exactly what exactly it is about the sow that makes her such a prodigious producer of pork. So he sends some of his underlings to surreptitiously find out. And there is a nationally known country and western group, all young men, laying low in Pitchfork, who decide to play country rubes when the girls' troupe shows up for their own merriment and fun. Anyway, this production was a lot of fun to watch, and I was a little spellbound by the lead girl woman of the girls' troupe, an actress named Iris Adrian, who plays this brassy girl named Doris. That's a funny name, Doris. I don't think there's any girls named Doris anymore, are there? I don't know. Or new Dorises. I don't know. Maybe Doris will come back. Doris. Anyway, I could check on that name thing. What was that? Let me see. There's that name there's a baby name thing. Let me see. Name, was it Name Wizard? You should see the history of Doris. Baby Name Wizard, right? Wizard, baby name wizard. I'm wondering, I want to see like the downfall of Doris, the name. Baby name wizard. Sorry, I'm just, here we go. Okay, here we go. Let me have some more Ristretto Radical. Here it is. Is this what I was thinking it was? Yes, here it is. All right, we got it. Babynamewizard.com. Doris. Doris. D-O-R-I-S. Wow, there you go. That's the story of Doris. Wow. It basically, in the 1880s, it was really not that popular, right? In the 1890s, it was like 171. Then it started to climb in popularity between 1900. It started a steep climb and reached absolute in 1920. In the 1920s, it was the eighth most popular girl's name. So it literally, from the 1880s to the 1920s, it spiked upwards. And by the 1930s, it had gone down to number 13. By the 40s, it's down to number 44. And by the 50s, it's down to number 100. And then it just collapses at that point. So the name Doris really has collapsed. It was around, again, in the 20s. So you figure this is, right, this movie's from 44. So if you're born in the 20s, in the 40s, you're like, you know, like 20, you know. So, yeah. So Doris was like a young woman's name that would be very popular at that point. Very interesting stuff. Anyway, let's continue with what this guy is saying. Doris. There was a lot of singing and dancing, probably from some entertainers that were well-known locally at the time, but who are all but forgotten today. Jimmy Wakely and the Sunshine Girls, the Pied Pipers, the Milo Twins, Carolina Cotton, Great Female Yodeler, and Slim Somerville. Some of the songs in this movie are You Are My Sunshine, Turn Me Down, Little Darlin', Yodel Mountain, Stay Away From My Heart, If You Can, Go Right, Don, Go Wrong, what? Oh, go right, don't go wrong. Again, I don't know where this thing came from. Every time there's an apostrophe, there's like five A's in a row with different like umlauts on top of them. Pass the biscuits, Mirandy. Don't miss the pig calling contest. It's a real winner. Yeah, so this person liked the movie. Here we go. Fredgermany on April 11th, 2005 gives it 4 stars. Merle Travis is member of band. I've watched this for the umpteenth time, and I could still swear the accordion player in the band is guitar picker extraordinaire Merle Travis of 16 Tons fame. If not, the musician sure looks a lot like him. Now, Jimmy Wakely and Merle Travis were close friends. Carolina Cotton, the female yodeler, can be seen in several Snater transcriptions of Merle Travis, but I have never found any reference to Merle Travis playing the accordion. Here we go. November 14th, 2005, Cage and Joe says, great music. The accordion player really looks like Merle Travis. He also appeared on a 1944 Jimmy Wakely Soundie together with Sunshine Girls featuring Colleen Summers, who later became Mary Ford. Travis played guitar on an obscure 1947 Wakely record on Sterling label. The song, If You Can't Go Right, Don't Go Wrong, is also heard in this film. Travis never played an accordion. Nice to see the Milo Twins also, although their segment is very short. Here we go. Jim Elena gives it 5 stars. December 2nd, 2005. Worth watching. This is good, not great, but well-made and entertaining enough to merit your time. Okay, now we're on to April 7th, 2006. Spuzz writes, Hee-Haw Revisited. 2 stars. While this is a somewhat entertaining movie, I have to wonder how people from Arkansas truly felt when they saw this movie. I highly doubt that this movie played in Arkansas anywhere. Playing the residents there as slow, stupid hillbillies is not exactly the way to promote the state, and would never be made today. The story here is quite simple. Several groups go down to Pitchfork, Arkansas, to exploit the town's notoriety when the town pig has a litter of 14 piglets. Wasn't it more than that? I thought it was more. It was 18. Along the way, hillbilly music happens. Lots and lots of it. I love the yodelers. The rest I can take or leave. Not a bad movie, just a terribly just terribly stereotypical. Now, I strongly disagree with what he said there. I don't think that there was a lot of that in the movie. Here we go, March 25th, 2007, from W. Plyler. on the movie I'm From Arkansas. I love the movie, especially, this is five stars, especially the music. Lots of great talent. Carolina Cotton, Merle Travis, the Milo twins, and many more, especially the Milo twins, since Edwin Milo was my dad. It would thrill me to hear from other Milo twins fans. This is Winston Edwin Miolin Piler, and he gives his email address. Wow. He's claiming to be the son of someone in this movie? I don't know. Couple more reviews here. Here's one from March 28th, 2007. From TOSP. I am from Arkansas. Being a native of Arkansas, I am not in the least offended by this movie. I enjoyed it enough that I made copies and gave it out to friends and relatives. Screenwriters of this era were out a great deal of material coming purely from their imagination. And yes, it has been shown here. I'm an ardent fan of Jimmy Wakely, also a native Arkansan, and I'd highly recommend you to take the time to explore his music. Bottom line is that this movie is enjoyable and nothing more than the stuff and nonsense Hollywood cranked out at the time. Four stars instead of five due to splices that seem to occur in the midst of so many musical numbers. And finally, here is a review from May 20th, 2007 from GD420MJ. 420, man, yeah. What a pleasant film. A very entertaining and cute film. Once I started watching, I couldn't stop. I absolutely loved the music. So classic. The first tune they played in the living room was grand, I reckon. But I best be getting now. Time's a-wasting. So, there you go. And like I said, I could listen to this movie over and over again. And, you know, if you want to go to Internet Archive, you can watch it as well. Very cool movie. There you go. I've all the things that I've been conceiving of are happening. I actually played a movie, and believe me, there will be more movies here on the Overnight Escape Underground. So yeah, look, it's past 10 a.m. on our virtual day. Should I call it that? Should I call it the virtual day? You'll hear, I had toyed with a similar concept years ago on something called burn casting, where this is sort of before the internet got kind of fast, and I was thinking of doing a show sort of similar to this, maybe not in terms of the content, but in terms of a lot of audio burned onto a CD. And I was going to, you know, and when I started, I said, this is Virtual Midnight on whatever it was, Oblivion, I think it was called Obliviana Wander Radio. So I was doing that, burn casting on, you know, something like that. You'll hear that. That will be on there. So if you want to, if it's in the future and all the Overnight Tape Underground stuff is out there, you can just search for the failed experiment, Obliviana Wander Radio. I believe that's what it is. You'll be able to hear that, and but I think it makes sense because it's a much easier way of identifying where this stuff is, right? Like right now, this is day one, track 22, right? Much easier to orient yourself than it's just sort of a random thing, you know. So in any case, earlier this month, I actually started this. Yeah, it was a week ago that I actually started in earnest recording this Overnight Escape Underground. But earlier this month, I made a recording specifically for this Overnight Escape Underground in New York City. It was on Friday, November 2nd. So really just like a little over 2 weeks ago now. And I went to the Museum of Modern Art, and I was sitting in the Sculpture Garden, and I started recording, and I wound up recording for an hour, almost an hour, and it's an hour, 16 minutes, and 45 seconds. So I think it's a great recording. It's a lot of it takes place in that Museum of Modern Art, the MoMA Sculpture Garden. Then we go outside. I walk through New York City, walk through Times Square, get to the Port Authority bus terminal. And it's a great sort of field audio. And you can see it. You know, it was that liberating feeling I had being on the underground. So check this out. It's almost an hour and 17 minutes. Good stuff. And I just listened to some of it. It's should be interesting. Here on the Overnight Escape Underground, check out this next feature, which I'm going to be calling Museum Garden. NYC Audio Museum Garden. Here it is.